forgive me. I've just seen the building this morning for the first time, so I'm just kind of like looking around like this saying, praise God. Are you still saying praise God? Yeah. Amen. Thank God. We're so glad to be here with you. And I'm so glad now. It's been 40 years that I've been saved. June of 1976, as a lost Roman Catholic, I trusted only in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, believing I didn't have to be good to go to heaven. And thank God I got saved that day. What's hard to believe is this month is 38 years ago. I was called to preach. I can't even believe it, amen? What a blessing it is. And now, getting old, 55, still in the saddle, pray that God will keep us going, amen? He's been so good to us. 15 years almost on the road, 630 or 40,000 miles, and 29 states, and still the same wife.
Amen.
Amen. thank God for Shelly. What a blessing she's been. And I'll give you a testimony a little bit to show you how special she's been to me. Thank God for her. But I'll tell you what I believe from the Bible. I owe it all to Jesus. I live my life so carelessly. I never thought about it dying for me. Then I saw my sin. I go. We live by bumper stickers. We're on the road all the time. And I saw that one. Say, amen. That's me. Amen. I owe. It's off to work I go for Jesus. We are debtors. And praise the Lord for that. I love this song. I have loved this song for years. There are certain songs that have certain chords and certain words and certain melodies. And they just pierce your heart. And I don't know if you've had a fit in a little while about Jesus loving you. You know, one of those times you start thinking about how you're unworthy. Amen. And how you're a wicked sinner. You can say amen to that too, even though you're saved, right? And how Jesus, he being sinless, perfect, virgin born, he died, he who is just died for the unjust. Let's park there for a while, amen? If you ever had one of those shout and cry and fits for a while, you probably ought to any time now. But every once in a while, and I hope it happens to you, I get overwhelmed with how much God loves me. I'm so glad for the way that he loves. Thank you. expansion to our ministry. And we've been going out west the last 3 years. We went to Utah for the first time. And we are ministering to the Indians out there, a whole bunch of them. There's so much to tell you. I've had to take a day or two to tell you, or a week or two. But we had a Navajo Indian family come back with us a couple years ago to Tennessee. They're out of our church now, the Benny Halewood family. And he's trying to reach the Navajos and pray for them. They're going to be going back. They've been doing furlough now. First time in 18 years. He didn't know what furlough was. First time in 18 years they went on furlough. And they're heading back probably in June. But just pray for them. Benny Halewood had his own family try to vote him off the reservation 3 times. His own father physically assaulted his wife and his daughter, and he still wants to go back. Can you believe that? He just committed to his people. So I'm saying that to say this. Whenever I think of this song, we were first going through those long roads out in Arizona, New Mexico, and we first heard this song, and it bit us bad and won't let us go. So my mind drifts back to that. We're going to go this September again. Pray for us. Going to do our missions trip again. But this is one of those old songs that never go out of style, written in 1769.
Dismiss our young people back to junior church, and they got a special program back there for you. And this time we're going to turn the service over to Brother Glenn. Yes. Okay. All right. Just to let you know, Brother Mark was not in the ladies' room, all right? But if somebody left their keys, a lady left their keys in the ladies' room, see Brother Mark about that, and he'll make sure that you get those. All right?
Thank you. Right. There's the wire. Okay, thank you, Brother. Man's room, ladies' room, doesn't matter, right? Can you believe we've come to the insanity we've come to? We've gotten beyond it, haven't we? there's a lot of things I could say, but I'll try to behave. Amen? It's good to be in the house of God. I have flashbacks with Shelley. I just saw the tail end of it, but she's from Ashland, Ohio. She grew up in a church just like this. And I'm always teasing her about being German, but that's a dangerous thing around here, right? Bickelhoff, she was Kaiser, amen. But wonderful memories, and thank God for Shelley being the blessing she is. But you know, in the last 5 minutes it took about the time for us to sing the last song, 1,000 people went into eternity, and 700 never even saw a Bible. Remember that Great Commission thing where Jesus said to go into all the world, preach the gospel, see people saved, baptized, discipled? How could people be saved, baptized, discipled that they never even saw a Bible? We represent Bible Literature Missionary Foundation, and we often refer to BNL, It's coming up on 50 years next year producing the scriptures. Brother Bob Lamont Sr. had a deep burden for getting the whole Word of God to the whole world, and that's what we specialize in. We do New Testaments, we do John and Romans, we do tracts, but we try to really put a heavy emphasis on the whole Word of God, because there's nothing like the whole counsel. All God's people said, amen. And so, God help us. Would you please pray for us? God help us to get the printed word into all the world. The burden is growing greater. Bobby Lamont Jr., he's in his 70s now, and he's like your preacher. He can't stand still. He just is working 16-hour days. Amen. Did you know that your preacher sits at the edge of his seat up here? He can't wait to go. Amen. And he's still leading the choir, still doing everything. Amen. Thank God for men who know no better than to just keep going pedal to the metal. Amen. That's how Bobby Lamont is. And he believes it's our mission, BNL's mission, to get the Word of God to 7 billion people. And I'm being serious about that. Thank God for the million scripture that's been produced for the last several years. Now they're in a newer facility, have been there for 2 years. And last year they got very close to the goal, 1.75 million scriptures produced. This year they're shooting for 2. They've got the room. The building is a football field long on 12 acres, and it's amazing what God is doing. The story goes of Ed Stanley, 62 years old. He was a church planter, and God says, I want you to get Bibles all throughout Africa. At 62, guess what he said? He said, all right, Lord. He's 68 or 69 now, and he tells a story of coming to a train station. And keep in mind, a train station in Africa is nothing like a train station around here. So there's like a can of worms with carts and horses and people and cars and everything. And he asked the guards if he could preach, if they could pass out Bibles. And the guard says, yeah, you can go ahead, that'd be fine. But then a high-ranking captain came through and came up to him and says, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm passing out Bibles. Who told you you could do this? He says, well, your guard said that we could. He says, let me see your passport. And that's always a scary thing in Africa if a high-ranking captain takes your passport. By the way, foreign prisons are nothing like our prisons. They don't have color TV or air conditioning. So what do you do if you have your passport taken? Brother Ed, he just kept on preaching and kept on passing out the Word of God. Then after a while, the high-ranking captain came back, gave him his passport back, and then he called him to the side. He says, can I have one of those Bibles? You know, the whole world, honestly, most of the whole world is hungry for the Word of God. We've gotten gospel hardened, but most of the world is hungry for the Word of God. I don't know about you, if you got one, I'm being serious, after the service, if you got a little baby, I love feeding little babies. I mean, they open their mouth, you shovel it in, and it's exciting. Amen. You can't get any better than doing that. That's the way the world is with the Word of God. They want the Word of God. And we have a team went to Columbia last year out of our church. They passed out several thousand tracts, people running to them to get tracts. They had a half a dozen refusals out of thousands of tracts. The world is hungry for the Word of God, and it's our job to get the Word of God to them. And I'll tell you this story quickly also. Look up YouTube, simply type in there, Chinese receiving Bibles for the first time, a 57-second video. Have you seen that? And if you get the caption below, it's powerful, because they throw the suitcase on the floor, and I have a hard time always getting through telling about the story. But they threw the suitcase on the floor. They opened the suitcase. The Chinese folks are diving at the Bibles. They're taking the Bibles out of the suitcase. They're putting the Bibles to their face. They're kissing the Bible. They're weeping and crying. And this one little Chinese lady says, this is what we've always needed. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody in America got a Bible and said, this is what we've always needed. With all the desperate needs we have in our country today, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we got back to the Word of God? Amen. So pray for us. There's an easy way you can get involved. And we never want to take away from anything else that you're doing. But understand that we're never in competition with another Bible printing ministry. It's always complementary. And it can be done this easily. Not saying a thing about your tithe or your missions giving. If 10 people just gave $2 a week, you can do it, brother, in your Sunday school class. If 10 people gave $2 a week, the price of a cup of coffee. I understand. Baptist of coffee. I'm on thin ice right here. Okay, but just one. Not two. Just one. Give it one cup of coffee a week. I know, the tragedy of it, right? One cup of coffee a week, about $2. If 10 people did that, you would be able, in a year, be able to buy a roll of paper. Now, it's time to get excited. You ready to get excited? You don't look like you're ready to get excited, but you will. I'll tell you this, and you'll just come unglued, all right? Here it is. A roll of paper will produce 500 Bibles. Now, listen to this. 500 Bibles are read on the average of 7 times everywhere around the world, and 1 out of 7 usually get saved. Somebody got it. Did you get it? Usually, for every Bible that's being printed, somebody's getting saved. Wouldn't it be amazing if next year at this time you bought a roll of paper, and then somewhere around the world 500 folks got saved, and then they tap on your shoulder up in heaven, amen? And they say, thank you for giving to the Lord. Thank you for giving up that cup of coffee. I got a Bible because of you, and I'm here because of you. It doesn't get any better, amen? So you pray about what God would have you do. You follow the preachers. He follows the Lord. That always works out real well. Amen. He keeps it in the Bible. You follow the preachers. He keeps it in the Bible. And all God's people rejoice because of it. We have a bucket in the back. We are, don't want your tithe. Don't want anything else. We want your pocket change. We want a couple of dollars you got left over for whatever else. I went to the store the other day. Lord have mercy when a man goes to the store. Amen. But get our prayer cards. I got to say that to you right in the middle of everything so I don't forget. Get our prayer cards. We need you to pray. Put it on your refrigerator, the most visited piece of furniture in the house, right? Put it on. But I went to the store the other day, and I got a cup of coffee, and I got one of these little, trying to get something better than a candy bar, one of those little snack bar things, $4. You know what I said to myself? For some reason, I think in these terms, I said, that's about 2 Bibles. Amen? So, hey, listen, folks. We're not telling you to sacrifice. We in America don't have to do very much for sacrificing. Just a couple dollars a week could do miracles for Jesus. All God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. Why don't you turn to Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. Preacher, what time do you usually get done? 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, something like that? Okay. Amen. Most churches are like that, but every once in a while, folks hear that magical ding that never goes off. You know, it's like, you know, noon in the church service, like, ding, that's, it's over. If it's not over, it's over, you know. So we're glad you folks aren't that way. But I want to thank God for my amazing wife, Shelley, because August 23rd changed my life forever. Seeing almost no evidence of what happened, aside from a scar here, and if I showed you my shoulder, you'd see the scar here. But on August 23rd, I was in Western New York, beautiful, beautiful country, and riding a preacher friend's motorcycle, a 1700 Yamaha Roadster. Anybody know what that is? Yeah, amen. Amen for that. It was wonderful. I mean, really, I was praising God, looking at the hills and just thanking God. And 800-pound motorcycle. And I came to a construction zone, 2 lanes going into 1. And I literally did not know what happened. I didn't know what hit me until I was rolling on the ground. I was screaming, and I'm seeing the sky on the pavement, the sky on the pavement. And then I realized I got hit. And somebody rear-ended me, a lady from Canada rear-ended me. Get the picture, somebody from Tennessee riding a motorcycle in Western New York that's not his, getting hit by a lady in Canada. So I knew my wrist was broken right away. I moved my neck around, my legs were, I wanted to find out if I was paralyzed, and I knew something was wrong with my shoulder. And isn't the Lord good? I'm telling you, God just, within seconds, people were coming to my aid. And I'm sitting there on the hot pit. It was in August, you know, and I just couldn't lay there. So I asked, he said, can you just help me to sit up? And I got to lean against something. And he put his knees behind my back to hold me up. And then after a while, he says, I just got to do something different. I'm getting a little uncomfortable. He says, he just sat on the pavement, a stranger sat on the pavement and put his back to my back. Isn't that amazing? Went in the ambulance ride, a bunch of young people there. I'm 55, so if you're under 50, you're a young person, amen. A bunch of young people in the ambulance. I had a chance to witness to them, and they took such good care of me. Ambulance got there quickly, but 10 screws, 2 plates on my wrist. I'm doing pretty good, but my hand is very numb. I still have a hard time playing the strings, and rotator cuff surgery. It's hey, I'm gonna tell you what happened today. High excitement. I was able to put my arm up and wash under my arm. You've had it, haven't you? I washed under my arm today in the shower. I was like, yes, hallelujah. Because for months, it was just like this and couldn't do a thing with it. But God's been good. It's been a long recovery. Really, it's still going on. It'll go on for a little while. I'm maybe 60, 70, 80% right now, and I got to be careful how I pick things up. But I thank God for my wife, Shelley. She has been my total caretaker for the last, well, it's been 6 months now, going on 7 months. And praise God for her. She's gone into a couple men's rooms with me because I couldn't pull my pants up. And she's still tying my shoes because although I could my shoes. I got a hip problem, back problem, and I did it, and I threw my back out. So she still put my shoes on me. But what an amazing wife. Great jewels in her crown forever. Amen? And I told her that when I become a millionaire, I'm going to bless her. I'm working on my second million. You knew that, right? Totally gave up on the first million, so I'm working on the second million. But I thank God. Such a pressure. If she's not laying down, she's standing next to me, standing next to her preacher husband, and just serving the Lord, loving the Lord. But pray for her. The spring allergies are coming, and they're starting to, it's been warm. By the way, thank you for turning the temperature up. It was 73 in Murfreesboro, Tennessee yesterday at 1 o'clock. We got here last night, it was 24. I mean, a little bit of a shock. We're still kind of overcoming the shock. I praise the Lord for the chance to be here with you. We marvel at your building. You are doing what folks say can't be done. You're sticking to the old time religion. When I talk about the old time religion, the word old in the Bible means eternal. And when I say religion, I'm not talking about man-made religion. I'm talking about that relationship with Christ. Amen. And you're out here in an unlikely place. Thank God I made it through downtown Oak Harbor. It was pretty scary, you know, going down through that big city, you know, we made it through there. But you're in an unlikely place doing something unlikely. As long as you're doing that, why don't you just keep on going? Amen? Well, why not? I pastored a church for a little while, but it was bigger than the town I was in. There was only a couple hundred folks in the town I last pastored, near a town of about 7,000, a couple towns of about that same size. And we had a high day of 287 one day. It was bigger than the town. Amen? So you might as well. As long as God's in this and doing what you can't do, you might as well just keep on going. Amen? Look at Ephesians chapter 6, if you would. I hate to admit this, but my wife and I have strange conversations. If anybody caught us not knowing what's going on, they would think we were really crazy. We'll admit right now we are insane. We got that over with, amen? And I just went to Shelley a little while ago. I says, her Bible was on top of my Bible in my office, and I brought the Bible to her. I says, here's your sword, soldier. And that put her into a, I don't know what, but she came back and she found something on how to sword fight. And I'm going to talk with you this morning on how to sword fight. But I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 6. There are some portions of Scripture I review often. And I'll say right here, right in the middle of this, I'll get back to it. It is time for God's people to not only read and study the Word of God, it is time for God's people to memorize and meditate on the Word of God. Sure. It is time to get familiar with your sword. I saw some kind of military thing, and this guy was going into nighttime combat. Anybody here, have you served our country? Anybody here? Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Okay, a couple others? Good, good. Don't do this. Do this, amen? We want to see you. Okay, good, good. But they were coming into combat. It was dark out. And I just saw him sitting there, and he was getting ready for battle. He closed his eyes, and he just went like this, just to be sure he knew by memory where everything was that he was going to be using. You know what, folks? It's time for God's people to know by memory, amen, the articles of armor that God's given us, but especially the sword. Look what it says here, Ephesians chapter 6. Enjoy the Sunday school lesson. It's time for God's people to review the basics. We are failing in Christianity today because we're failing in the basics, and I love what you're saying back there. That's like the theme of my life, preacher, getting back to the basics. I got a brand new idea as a fire-breathing, fundamental, sweat-drenched, pew-jumping Baptist. I got a brand new idea. You want to hear it? Let's get back to the Bible. Let's get back to basics. It's the kind of doctrine that was taught in Sunday school that's going to turn our churches around and make them grow strong. But it says here, verse number 10, if you're looking at Ephesians chapter 6, say amen. Amen. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We need God's power, and we need to be strong, but strong in the Lord. Verse number 11 says, put on the whole armor. How much of the armor, church? The whole armor. Amen? Putting a piece out of here or two will do you for a while, but you got to have the whole thing on in order to survive the battle and win the battle. And it's time we started winning the battle. Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I'm going to try not to be too detailed, but I've got a red-haired five-year-old grandson. Say amen for redheads. Any redheads here? Okay. All right. He turned five. I tried to talk him into staying two. He wouldn't listen. He grew up and he got to be five. And I told his mom and dad, I says, about the things of God. I says, he needs to be having the Bible pumped into him and getting to church all the time so he has a chance. Amen? Just has a chance to escape the corruption and wickedness and sin that's in this world. No guarantee. Amen? But hey, I tell you what, if you get the Word of God into a young person, they've got a chance. Amen? If you put the whole armor on, you've got a chance to win the battle. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me give you a little commentary of what my preacher said. He's only been in our church for 55 years. Jim Tedder, Victory Baptist in Shelbyville, Tennessee. Where's the lady from Shelbyville? Where'd you go? I'm going to look around here. Somebody lived in Shelbyville. There you are. Yeah. Thank you for being here. Amen. Lived on Madison in Shelbyville, didn't you? Yeah. Isn't Shelbyville an amazing place? Yeah, I barely remember. You said you were 9 when you moved, but it was still wonderful. Amen. But my preacher has been in our church for 55 years. I just like to brag on him. But here's what he says. When we talk about the wrestling against flesh and blood, principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. He said that this is education, economics, and entertainment. Amen. It is a prince over a municipality. There is a fallen angel over every major and minor city and area. And that's true, folks. There's a demon somewhere sitting around here trying to disrupt things. Have you had things disrupted, preacher, in the last 30 years? Hey, I'll tell you what, the devil even now, God's trying to speak to hearts, and the devil's trying to speak to our mind. That's why the battle is what you think, amen? Then he said this, talked about corrupt business and politics and false religion. Now, I just gave you a quick commentary of the principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. But folks, if we could just see what's going on over these rioters, these ridiculous rioters, never happened in the history of our country, somebody getting elected, whatever you think of Donald Trump, and these rioters, I think we'd see some spiritual warfare going on like we could not believe would make our hair stand on end. Hey, folks, there is some spiritual battle going on. And by the way, folks, has a spiritual battle ever been hotter? Has it ever been worse? Has it ever been harder? Is it not more important than ever that we as the people of God know how to put on the whole armor of God? Verse number 13 says, wherefore take unto you the what? Says it again. God's repeating himself. Must be important. Take on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Now, this is a hard question, but you can answer it. The end of verse number 13 has a word. The beginning of verse number 14 has a word. What word is that?
Stand.
So you know what you do when you after you're done standing? Stand again. Don't stop standing. Amen? It says, and having done all to stand, verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye should be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, listen to this, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then I'll say the first two words of verse number 18, praying always. How often? Always. Doesn't it say, the first verse, my 30, good night, Shelly. Is she going to be 34? What happened? I'm too young to have a daughter that old. Our daughter Sarah was 2 years old. Her first verse was 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I could hear her two-year-old voice saying Thessalonians. And she said, pray without ceasing. It's like a little two-year-old. But guess how much we're supposed to pray, folks? Pray all the time. And don't ever quit praying. And keep on praying. Pray always. Amen. So here's what I do every day. I don't think a day goes by where I miss this. For one thing, I pray a hedge around my family. Job chapter 1 talks about a hedge. I say, Lord, please put a hedge around Shelly and put it around me. And I ask you to put it around Rick and Sarah and Amanda and Brandon and Crystal and Randy and Levi. And God, I preach to put a hedge around my sister, Lenara, and my mom. My mom's going to be 92 in May. And pray for her if you would. She's still trouble. Amen? She's still leading more people going to the mailbox than I do going all over the country. It's incredible. She's an Italian soul-winning feeding machine. Get around her. She'll give you a granola bar. I'm just giving you a fair warning. Say, Lord, put a hedge around Ma and around Lenara. Put it around my sister Vicky, my brother-in-law Ron. And then, Lord, I got a bunch of people I pray about. Put it around Mom and Dad Kaiser. Going to see them later on. And guess what happened one day? Got a phone call. And Crystal, our second born, giving us the grandson, was talking to Amanda. And all of a sudden I heard Amanda said, what? You almost drowned. I says, what happened? She almost drowned. Give me the phone. Talk to Crystal. She doesn't know how to swim. She went boating with some friends. She came back to the dock. She put her foot on the boat and on the dock, and the boat went out, and she went down to 10 feet of water. And she says, Dad, I just got to the bottom. And I said, push. And I pushed. And I came up on top of the water, and I grabbed onto the dock. And some of my friends were even laughing. But I almost drowned, Dad. But I'm okay. You know what I said? There's somebody praying for that girl. I know Mom is. I know others are. But I pray a hedge around that girl every day. And thank God, God answers prayer. Aren't you glad about that? We were at Tullahoma, Tennessee. We heard that sickening, crashing, crunching metal sound out in front of the church. And we all said at the same time, Amanda. And we ran out there. Here's Amanda carrying instruments in a stupor. 5 feet from her was a skid mark. And we looked at the stop sign, and the stop sign was knocked over. Somebody, they said, was drunk and going 50 miles an hour and ran over the stop sign. Thank God Amanda didn't get hit. Thank God. But you see, you have to understand, folks, there's somebody praying for Amanda, praying a hedge around Amanda. It's her dad. And I think God answered prayer. What do you think? Shelley talks about a time we were still pastoring, and she said she was sitting on the couch in the living room. Now, keep this in mind. Sitting where? On a couch in our living room. And she says, I don't know what happened. I might have heard something, but I just got out of the seat, and I kind of ran, and a car hit our house. Just a little bit of a curve. They must have overcompensated and hit our house. And it could have gone through the house and killed Shelley. But you see, there's somebody praying for my wife, Shelley. Her husband's praying for her every day. They got to put a hedge around her. I think it'd be a good thing if we started praying for our families. Pray for your preacher. The host of hell is after your preacher. The host of hell is after this church. And listen, great things are going on here. You know the devil's mad, amen? I pray a hedge around it. But then, every day I also do this. I don't think a day goes by when I don't. And by the way, folks, if I ever talk about me, it's not me, it's him. Amen? I want you to understand that. But I pray, Lord, help me put on the gospel boots. Help me put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. Take up the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. And Lord, I pray that you just cover me with a shroud of prayer. And there's a lot of people who are praying for me. Amen? But we especially want to talk to you today about the sword. Think about this. Think of all the articles of armor. Think of which of those articles are defensive and think about which ones are offensive. What's the only offensive weapon that's there in the armor? What is it? The sword. So think about that. And by the way, you need to be on defense. We're going to talk about this real quick. But you need to be on defense. But if all you do is defend, you never win the war. You've got to have an article of offense. You've got to have a sword. You've got to know how to use the sword. Which brings us to the book of Hebrews. Look there if you would. Hebrews chapter 4. And we're going over verses. Hopefully you learned in the first 6 months or a year you were saved. But it's good to go back to the basics. Amen? Christians, we go to churches just like this one all over the country. I'll tell you this. You're up toward the top. And I'm saying that just as an observation, as an opinion. But guess what's happening in good churches like this? Many, many people, usually the majority of people, don't even know how to use their sword. We're going to talk about that today. Very, very important that you know how to use your sword. But Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is quick and powerful and what? Sharper than any two-edged sword. See, the fact is, folks, it's all about Jesus. It's all about the Bible. Can we boil it down? If we had to boil our ministry down, it's all about Jesus, all about the Bible. It says in Acts 19 that Jesus was magnified and then the Word of God multiplied and grew. And that's really what it's all about. And so when you get to that point and you're loving the Lord, reading the Bible, hearing the preaching of the Bible, studying the Bible, we're going to get to meditation and memorization here pretty quick. Guess what happens right about then? You want someone to have what you've got. Amen? Did you ever eat at a good restaurant? And then, I don't care if you're shy or if you're extroverted or who you are. Did you ever eat at a good restaurant and you couldn't keep your mouth shut? You had to tell somebody else about it? Yeah. Anybody bear witness? You folks act like you never eat. Come on now. Help me out. Amen. We've got this Thai restaurant that came into town. And Shelley had Thai years ago, didn't like it. And I says, well, how to try it? And then one day I talked to her, and we stopped there. And now we've been there 92 times in the last week. It feels like it. I mean, we tell everybody, brought my sister there, my brother-in-law there. We've gotten to know some of the Thai ladies there. We're praying we can witness to them, they get saved. But that's the way it goes, right? Hey, if you've got this precious word of God, do you really just want to keep it to yourself? Or do you want to get it to everybody that you know and all around the world, the people that you don't know? Amen? So let's consider this thing about having a sword fight. For one thing, a sword in today's battle is really an antiquated instrument. It is a relic of the past. But can I say this to you? Though some say it is an outdated instrument, the sword I have is more powerful than any machine gun or any missile. It's this wonderful. And by the way, I've got one of those Every Word Antioch Bibles. How about you? If you don't know what an Every Word Antioch Bible is, talk to your preacher. Hopefully you got one sitting in your lap. Amen? You have one or two Bibles ever. The Bible came through Alexandria, or the one that came through Antioch. I've got an Antioch Everywhere Bible. Amen? And this sword is not antiquated. This sword is more powerful than any nuclear bomb. So let's consider a few things about what sword experts say. This is amazing what sword experts say about how to effectively use a sword, just for a couple minutes, okay? For one thing, you have to be aware of your surroundings. You have to have situational awareness. Can I say this, people of God? Too often we walk into this world or walk through this world totally unaware of our surroundings. Now, I know it's important to be separated, and I know it's important for us to just, you know, but sometimes we think being separated means that we just don't know anything, and because we don't know anything, that we're godly and we're separated. But listen, you've got to know the surroundings that are around you if you're going to use this sword properly. It'd be a wonderful thing if you are working with somebody and they're of a particular persuasion, whatever it would be, and to know something about what they are so you could talk to them. Amen? You got to have assess your situation. Listen, folks, the people of God are under attack all over the place. And we've got to understand the nature of the attacks. Just understanding your surroundings, the nature of your attacks, will help you to use your sword. It says to assess your environment. Be able to turn the physical environment to your advantage. Prepare an ambush and force your opponent against a dead end. Can I say this, folks? The devil's had free reign in America way too long. Would it be good if we just kind of cornered them with the sword, got all together, cornered them with the sword? And you see, the fact of the matter is, folks, we could still win over the rotten devil with the sword. We can still do it. But it's important that we prepare an ambush and force your opponent against a dead end. I'm excited about this one. It also says we're in a sword fight. Understand, if you get them into the sunlight, bright sunlight can blind. Amen? You know where I'm going, right? Get your opponent into the sunlight, S-O-N, sunlight of Jesus Christ, and let the sun blind him. Wouldn't that be good? Consider this. Sword fighters do not typically do well in the mud. Isn't that interesting? You got these big, long swords. If they're in the mud, they have a hard time. Can I encourage you, Christian? Stay out of the mud. Yeah. It is so easy to get ankle deep. And it's hard not to get ankle deep in this world. But then it's easy to get knee deep. And then before you know it, you're hip deep. And then it's up to your neck. It's over your head. How can you fight if you've sunk down into the mud? Amen? So sword fighters do not typically do well in the mud. Battlefields also require acting as a team. And I've been looking forward to doing this for a long time. I've got to have a couple almost young people help me out. Can you help me out? Can you come up here just for a second? You look like a good helper. And you two fellas there, can you guys come on up here for a minute? Come up here for a minute. We'll get dangerous here. Maybe do a couple more. Who else can we get? Can you come on up? You want to come up, I can tell. Come on up here. Get up here on the platform. One more. I got to have one more. Come on up here. It's okay. It's all right. Come on up here. One more. Don't want any girls. Amen. Yeah. Girls still have cooties, right? Well. Yeah. Come on up here. Yeah. Come on up here. Okay. Now, I want you guys to stand. Let's see here. Let's do one here, one here. Come on up here. Yeah. And then you can kind of stay in the middle. Then one there and one there. Okay? This is the thing, guys. Okay? No matter what I do, I want you guys to do what I do. Okay? So, you ready? Okay. What you guys ought to do. There you go. Good. I'm going to step back up. You can, if anybody sees the video, they'll think we're dancing in church. Amen? Okay. Now, watch this. Now, go the way I'm going. I'm going to the right, but you got to go the same way, which would be your left. Okay? So, ready? Good. Okay. Good. All right. Good. You ready for this? All right. You got to come this way. You're not doing very good. Come this way. Come this way. Okay. Good. Good. Ready for this? You're not doing very good. Yeah. Okay. Good. Good. Okay. All right. Put this one down. I can't put this one up very high, but put this one up. Okay. Good. All right. Good. Now, this way a little more. Guess what these guys are doing? They're moving as a unit. Amazing illustration, right? When I move, the man of God moves. Wouldn't it be good if the people of God moved?
That's right.
Amen? If Jesus is moving and he's going to follow the Lord, amen, right? If Jesus is moving, then you ought to move. And guess how you ought to move? You ought to move together, right? And folks, I'll tell you what. Thank you. Give him a hand. That was incredible. Amazing ability. That was good. But if you ever get this in a sword fight here in church, guess what, folks? The devil will never have a chance. Can you imagine if the mighty men of this church who know the scriptures and know the times we live in, that's a mark of a mighty man, amen? Can you imagine if the men of this church got together and says, we will not let the devil into our homes. He's under attack in this area, under attack in that area, you know, all the The typical ones. He's under attack with the electronic stuff and the iPhones and the TV. And I'm not saying you should or shouldn't have it, but I'm just saying this. It wouldn't be a good thing if the men of God here got together. And wouldn't it be good if you folks just took over Oak Harbor and all the other area and took it over for Jesus? And you work hard and you're tired and you've got no time, and I think that's all an act of the devil anyway. But wouldn't it be a wonderful thing for an hour a week? 10 of you or 20 of you or 30 or 50 or 100 of you could get together as a designated point and just sword fight as a single unit. Amen? And try to see souls saved for Jesus. Amen. See, do we have to gather together here? Do we have to go to the same section of town? Now, do it every day all week long. Amen? But what did you, it's exciting whenever you have a visitation and a bunch of people show up. Isn't that wonderful and exciting? Amen. And you can let your mind run wild with that. And there's a bunch of other things, but I want to just get down to the brass tacks here. Relax when you're fighting. If you're in a panic, you're never going to win. Engage with care. If you are charging into battle and you're not careful, guess what will happen? All the enemy has to do is stick his sword out and you're done. It's over. Have a strong defense. We talked about that. Keep your weapon ready. I had a couple of great compliments have been given to me in my ministry. One is that my preaching is very simple. I say, thank you very much. Because I really work at that. Not too hard, because I am simple. And, you know, when you come off the farm, what are you going to do? Amen? Just the way it goes. I could talk about the hypostatic union or the dichotomy or trichotomous view of man. But, you know, I'd rather just talk from the Bible. Amen? So have a strong defense. Keep your weapon ready. I had a compliment given to me that my preaching is simple. And also that I carry the Bible around wherever I go. Isn't that a good thing? Now, I understand, I still, you know, I read my Bible sometimes on my phone and things, but there's just nothing like this book with this leather, amen? Right. There's just nothing quite like it. And take it with you wherever you go, but here's the thing. There are some situations where you can't carry your Bible in, so you've got to have the sword here, amen? But keep your weapon ready. Make the first strike count. Do you realize that most sword fights are won within 30 seconds? Hey, the devil is very experienced. And he is very skilled. And he's been fighting for a long time. And he knows exactly how to take you down. Would it be good if we struck first? Amen? Don't get in the middle of temptation. Don't get in the middle of a mess. Before you get into the middle of a mess, strike with your sword. And then remain calm and confident. And I got to give you this one before we get right down to it. You know what else this says? I think this is funny, but it's just true. Drop the dramatics. Don't you wish you can get out of all the drama in your life? Drop the dramatics. Most sword fights are won with simple, well-timed, and well-placed blows and parries. Flashy, elaborate moves are generally best left to the martial arts movies. I had a chuckle about that. So, another few minutes and then we're going to be done. And all God's people said, amen. When the preacher said, we're almost done. Doesn't mean it's going to be next few minutes, but next few days we'll be done. Let me talk to you very simply about effective sword battle procedure. Would you be interested in knowing that? We talked about a bunch of things, but wouldn't you like to know some effective sword battle procedure? If you got a sword, can you put it up? Hold it up in the air, high as you can. You got one? Praise the Lord. Look, this is a blessed sight. We've got to hold them up for a while. Isn't this beautiful? It's wonderful. But there is effective sword battle procedure. For one thing, read and study it. Brand new idea, amen? Brand new idea. But folks, the percentage of our Bible-believing Baptist church members, I'm talking about members, who don't even touch the Bible through the week is alarming. And then we wonder why in this wicked day we're having a hard time with sin, we're having a hard time with falling out of the battle. Read it. Read it. You know what's wonderful? When I was 16 years old, our church started a Bible reading campaign. We got this piece of cardboard on the wall. We put our names on the piece of cardboard and had 52 weeks all marked off and had a magic marker and it told the portion you're supposed to read. I kept doing it after I was 16. And thank God when I turned 40, I started my 40th trip through the Bible. If I could do it, anybody can do it. But you got to read the Bible and then study it. 2 Timothy 2:15, what does it say? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that what? Needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's so vital. Thank you, preacher, in Sunday school for rightly dividing the word of truth and giving it to us straight. So you need to read it and study it, all right? Second step is meditate and memorize it. Say Psalm 1 with me if you're able to. If not, just listen if you can. If you want to turn to Psalm 1, that'd be fine. I'd like to have you check me out. Believe the Bible, and don't believe the preacher, but believe the preacher that's preaching the Bible. Amen? So look at the Bible if you want to, if you don't know it. Psalm 1, what does it say? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Wait a minute. Did the Bible really say, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper? Did it really say it there? Benny Hinn didn't say it. The phony baloney falling down evangelist on TV didn't say it. Amen? The Bible says, you can come to a point in your Christian life where whatsoever you do, you'll prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I'm going to refrain from preaching on Psalm 1. What a chapter. Amen? But the hinge in the whole chapter is verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Dangerous thing to do before dinner, but we're going to do it anyway. I think I've done this with you already. Okay, but here we go. You ready? I want you to name, say it out loud. Don't act like you don't eat. Name for me your favorite food.
Donuts.
Pizza, donuts. What? Tacos? Huh? Say it. You're being a little timid. Shout it out.
Spaghetti.
What? Ice cream. Yeah. Amen. What? Yeah. Amen. You know what my grandson likes? Pray for my grandson, my 5-year-old grandson. He loves corn dogs with ketchup. I took a bite. It didn't taste too bad. Anyway, okay. That, you know what's interesting about this church? You got to the matter right off right at the beginning. Somebody said pizza. Who said pizza? Oh, I'll give you a dollar later, okay? Because Baptist manna, right? Pizza. Oh, have mercy. Shelly's gluten intolerant, and we've been doing gluten free for a couple years. It's helped me out too. But oh, nothing like pizza. Amen. Oh, it just drips down your hands and goes down to your elbows, and you. Oh, amen. Now you folks had revival on the spot talking about food. Amen. I had a friend in Bible college. He's in heaven now. But I used to sit next to him. And sometimes it was delightful, sometimes it wasn't. But I'd almost laugh every time. Because when he ate lunch, he would go like this. I'm not kidding with you. He'd just shovel like this. And he'd go, And I did like you did. I'd like to sit next to him and just laugh. Other times I couldn't take it. I had to just get away, you know. But, you know, he understood something about food. I mean, if you're gonna have it, enjoy it, right? Be careful not to enjoy the wrong things too much. Amen? Lord's helped me to lose some weight and get healthier. But, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if we said, to the hot, fresh bread, to the real manna? Wouldn't it be wonderful? And you're going to meditate on what you delight in. Brilliance, right? That's farm brilliance right there, I'm telling you. You're going to meditate on what you delight in. I hope you take that home. I said a lot of things this morning, but I hope you take that home. Say it with me. You're going to memorize meditate on what you delight in, right? Oh, God help me to get to that point. And I'm getting there. After 40 years, I'm getting there. Would I miss the Word of God? Something wrong. I got busy this morning. I didn't take time. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to take time as soon as I can. And then, okay, thank you, Lord. Thank you. But see, folks, it's time for God's people to meditate and memorize on the Word of God, because you've got to be familiar with your sword. You've got to know how to fight with it with your eyes closed. And the best way you do this is by memorizing the Word of God. Let me give you a couple quick examples. There's at least 3 verses I say every day on top of some others. But I usually say Romans 12, 1 and 2 out loud. I say, Lord, I pray that you give me a renewed mind. It comes from the Word of God. Then I say this verse, 2 Timothy 1, 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I say this almost every day. Now, being ex-Roman Catholic, it's kind of hard for me to get repetitive, because I don't want to just say it out of rote memory. But I say this, Lord, please help me to have a sound mind today. And help me to live by faith and not by fear. Do a survey of yourself this week and see how many things you do or don't do because of fear rather than doing it because of faith. So I want you to think about that. God, please help me to live by faith and not by fear. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to have a sound mind. And you can't have a sound mind, amen, It says, God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You have no power, you have no sound mind, you have no love if you're living in fear. So that fear is coming on. What do? Strike quickly, right? That fear is coming on, right? What do you do? Quote the word of God like Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4. Isn't it interesting that the word of God quoted the word of God? So now that fear is coming. Lord, you said in your word, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And worry comes along. What do you say? Philippians chapter 4. Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You have a problem with anger, have your anger verse. Whatever it is. But folks, it's time to get familiar with the sword. When the devil attacks, where does he usually attack? Usually attacks in our mind. And I understand these guys with the power of positive thinking and all this other stuff, they're messed up, but they have a shred of truth. And the shred of truth is this: the battle really is in your mind. Amen? Listen to this. We need to read and study the Word of God, meditate and memorize it, and then draw it, swing it, quote it, and strike. And you've heard this term, haven't you? And then rinse and repeat. Then do it all over again. Read and study the Word of God, meditate, memorize it, draw it, swing it, quote it, and strike. And folks, I guess it's impossible to beat the devil every time, but if you got the sword, and if you hit him every time with the sword, it's going to be awful hard for him to control your life, and for him to ruin your life and run your life. And God help us to know how to skillfully use the sword. Boy, I'll tell you, it's so vital for those folks caught in addiction. Here in the Oak Harbor and all around. You know where some of the highest addiction rates are? Out in the country. We have found a herd of folks, they'll tell about some of these little towns being having all these meth labs and other places. I don't know what's going on around here, but I would be surprised if a lot's going on around here. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the sword came along? Somebody who knows how to use the sword. And somebody who used the sword to see them saved. And then taught them, being a skilled warrior, how to use the sword and break the addictions. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be wonderful if, so much trouble in our homes and our marriages nowadays. Oh, godly older moms, you've got tremendous treasure you can share with younger ladies. Tell them how to fight through those battles. Where's the lady who's been married for 50 years? Is she around here still? Amen. To him? Amen. It's good. Amen. Why'd you laugh? I wasn't laughing. He's a nice guy, right? Okay, good. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you taught the ladies how to get through those hard times in the marriage? Shelly's never had a hard time, right? Hard times come. And how about your kids? They're perfect and sweet and their halos shine all the time, right? Would it be good, moms and dads, if you could teach younger parents how to use the sword with their kids? Don't take that wrong, amen? But hey, listen, folks. I'm going to tell you something. Physically speaking, spiritually speaking, for my kids, I will go to the mat going out fighting for my kids. How about you? I'll just share this with you. I'm not going to give you all the specifics, but our second daughter, Krista, was coming out of Walmart. She told the lady, you could see her on the tape, she was pointing to the meat that was a package of meat. It was for Levi's fourth birthday. Pointing to the package of meat that was in the cart, and she put one package up on the conveyor belt. And the lady didn't charge her for it. She didn't know. And she even put stuff in her cart. She went over to the service counter, and then my daughter Krista went to the doors and got assaulted by three people who were dressed in black and all tattooed and pierced. And I want to say something to you. God loves everybody the same. I'm just saying that the piercing, the tattoos, the black attire, it scared the life out of her. She didn't know it was security. She thought she was being abducted, and she reacted. She took the pepper spray out. Yeah, Dad taught her right. Amen. And you can't see it on the video. She was supposed to go on like this. And she did the pepper spray out on them. And it didn't even bother them. They weren't even wiping their eyes. If you get pepper sprayed, what happens? You fall down, right? So she finally got away from them. They took her purse. They took her phone. They spun her around out in front of the store. She got in their car. They beat on the car. Professional behavior, right? They beat on the car. And she took off and went home. Called her husband. He says, understand something. They're going to come to the door. They're going to arrest you. Okay, just get ready for this. And two different town policemen came and arrested. She's never had a parking ticket and has never even had a speeding ticket. She's still involved. The thing's going on. She's going to take it to trial. She would not plead guilty because she wasn't guilty. It's probably not going to go on until May, June, July. It happened last February. You know what, folks? This has caused a lot of great concern for us as a family, and we have shed some tears about this, because at one time they're talking about her doing a year of jail and $3,500 fine. I've tried to give you the condensed version, but I'll tell you what, there's something that bubbles and boils in me as a dad. I'll go down to the mat for her. I know you love your family. Amen? It's time for us to not only defend them to the death physically, it's time for us to defend them to the death with the Word of God. Even your grandkids. Amen? Yeah. Folks, it's time to fight. You can quote me on it. It's time to fight because the battle is raging. And I believe in the Second Amendment. Don't get me wrong. But you know, we have a greater weapon with the Word of God. Amen? And if you need to exercise your Second Amendment rights, go to it. That's good. But you understand what I'm saying. There's a greater battle that we have to also fight. Let's fight it with the Word of God, but you got to get skilled. We got to get serious. Hey, folks, do you realize in this last election, the day after the election, it very easily could have been the USSA, the United Socialist States of America, already heading there, still having problems with it. But thank God for His mercy. Amen? Yeah. God's given us mercy. And because He's given us mercy, now I say this, let's have revival. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we humbled ourselves and prayed, sought His face, turned from our wicked ways, and then God promises He will hear, He will forgive, and He will heal. Do you not believe that our nation needs healing? But it'll never come apart from the Word of God. Lester Roloff said, if we're ever going to have a revival that's real, it's got to be a Bible revival. Well, he's just speaking from the grave, isn't he? And he's right. If we're ever going to have a revival that's real, it needs to be a Bible revival. Something's going on here that doesn't happen everywhere. It's not supposed to be happening here. Something happened in North Carolina back, I guess it was last May. Don't know if you heard about it, but you probably did. But there's a preacher, young preacher, C.T. Townsend, went to North Carolina, going to preach a revival meeting for a week. And the problem is the church had been praying intently for 10 years for revival. When he got there, they didn't have a week's meeting. They had a two-week meeting, and then a three-week meeting, and a four-week meeting. And then they had to get a tent, and they put it out there by I-40. You heard about it. Did you hear about this? Put it out there by I-40. And that's a great place to put a tent, amen, right by the highway. And then it got to be several weeks into it. One night they had 6,000 people. Amen. And one night they had 200 preachers. Do you have any idea how hard it is to get preachers who believe this book and who are Baptists, 200 in one spot? Yeah. That's a hard thing to do. That happened. And then one night, C.T. Townsend was preaching. And as he was preaching, there were folks who were in that tent who had never been to church, didn't even know how to behave. But as he was preaching, they were coming forward to get saved. And they kept on coming, and they kept on coming. And it got to a point he had to shut down the preaching because of so many people who got saved. And that night, about 150 people got saved. You see, folks, that's not supposed to happen. That's the good old days, and that can't happen anymore. But it happened just last year. So if it can happen there, you know what I say as an evangelist? I say, Lord, let it happen everywhere. Anywhere I go and anywhere I don't go, let it happen there. If it can happen, when I heard about this, I want some of that. And I want to have more of it, and I want to have it all the time. I don't ever want to lose it. So let me ask you a question as we stand to our feet. Amen? It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Word of God. Let's stand to our feet. Can I ask you to do this? I hope you have been praying for revival. But if we're going to have revival that's real, it's going to have to be a Bible revival. Can I ask you to come right now, out of order? Everybody's looking. We're going to have an invitation, certainly, but can I ask you to come now? And can I ask you to humble yourself and pray? Come on, would you come? And seek God's face and turn from your wicked ways? I'm working on that. Would you come? And the Bible says God will promises He will hear, He will forgive, He will heal. But we got to get back to the Word of God. We really do. And God help us to see revival in our own lives. Revival here in this church, in this area. Wouldn't it be wonderful if this church, spiritually speaking, overtook the area? And folks are coming here, they can't understand even why it's happening, but the Holy Spirit's drawing them and they're getting saved. And God is having His way all over again. Let's take some time with the Lord. But it could be you're here this morning, and your heads are bowed, and our eyes are closed, and I have a suspicion, I'm only a man with an opinion, but I think there very easily could be a few folks, if not several folks here, who are not saved, right here in this wonderful church. There could be folks, your name is on the roll, the membership roll, but your name's not on the roll of heaven. Stories all over the country for the last 15 years we've heard. You're here this morning, would you say this? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm not sure of heaven. I'd like to be sure of heaven. Would you please pray for me? Anybody here like that this morning? Last week we were preaching locally in Bell Buckle, Tennessee, and a little girl raised her hand, not sure of heaven. How about you today? I'm not sure of heaven, would like to be sure of heaven. Would you please pray for me? Anybody here like that this morning? Thank you. Somebody else. Thank you. Somebody else. Not sure of heaven, would like to be sure of heaven. Would you please pray for me? A couple hands have gone up. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for this man of God in this place, this amazing church. Thank you for your word that's a sword. Help us to know how to skillfully engage in sword fight battle. Lord, help us to continue to study and read and memorize and meditate, and then know how to draw it skillfully and strike. God, we need help in our country. We need help in our families. We need help in our churches. But God, give us revival. Help us to know all over again, to have a real revival, we've got to have a Bible revival. Thank you for many who have come. And God, we have been shown mercy in our country. Now, God, help us to have revival. If there's anybody here who's unsaved, pray that today will be the day of their salvation. Bless this invitation, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen.
With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment as the piano and organist plays through a verse of invitation. Revive thy work, O Lord. Certainly we need that in our lives today. The only way we're going to make an impact on our families, on our communities, is to make sure that the Word of God is in us, doing an effectual work in our lives. In the margin of my Bible, I've got wrote down, either sin will keep you from this book or this book will keep you from sin. Today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as the instruments play, we invite you to come and trust Christ as your Savior. As Christians are praying, would you come? Let's take our hymnal, turn to hymn number 93. Let's sing this as a prayer to the Lord this morning. Revive thy work. Hymn number 93.
Revive thy work, O Lord. Thy mighty arm make bare. Us now. Revive thy work, O Lord. Disturb